At Nutrafol, we don't just help your hair, we help your body grow it. Because it's never just about your hair. It can be your job, or your deodorant, or your lunch, or just normal life. That's why our whole body approach targets the key root causes of hair thinning. Discover your root causes and why we're the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement brand at Nutrafol.com. That's Nutrafol.com. These statements have not been approved by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease paid for by Nutraceutical Wellness, Inc.
Welcome in, everybody. Another edition of the Jacobs Draft Special. Eagles finally make their third round pick after they had some shaking and baking. They traded 50 and 53 to go up and get Cooper. They added a third round pick and they kept moving back and moving back and moving back. And they end up with Houston Christian University's Jalex Hunt. John, do you know anything about Jalex Hunt?
Yeah, you know, he's a guy the Eagles looked at in the pre-draft process. So they were interested in him. Kind of a late bloomer from a prospect standpoint. I actually went to Cornell, Ivy League kid. So,
smart guy.
He's smart. But it's interesting. He was a safety at Cornell when he first tried playing football. And now he's an edge rusher. So he really put on a lot of weight in the ensuing years. Very good athlete, but a raw prospect. I wouldn't expect him. And that's why the Eagles, had their eye on him, evidently, and that's why they probably kept trading down in the third round, understanding they could go, as low as they could potentially go and add some more day three ammunition and still get the player they wanted. And Jalex Hunt adds to the edge rushing room a little bit. Wouldn't expect a ton out of him early, but a high level ceiling as a prospect. And hopefully 2-3 years down the road, you might have a player if you can develop him properly. But definitely a good athlete. And they do finally get to the front. Expected it to be the offensive front, but they went to the defensive front with Jalex Hunt, and very Eaglesy pick and moving down and trying to get as much value, as much ceiling as possible with an edge rusher.
So there's the pick, how we kept moving back, and we finally know who it is. Jalex Hunt in 2023 had 8 sacks and 24 hurries. And 7 sacks and 26 hurries in 2022. As you mentioned, obviously a raw prospect, but seems to be someone that could have some upside. I just saw a tweet from Brandon Lee Gowton of Bleeding Green Nation, good friend of the network, friend of Birds 365, that said Daniel Jeremiah was told this is one of Vic Fangio's favorite players in the draft. So this sounds like it could be a Vic Fangio pick. I guess they like taking a flyer at a value position like that at defensive end.
Yeah, I mean, and that helps a lot. And DJ obviously has a good relationship, used to work for the Eagles, has a good relationship with people still in the building. So probably got a good handle on Vic Fangio. And the fact that the Eagles showed interest in him in the pre-draft process, probably an indication as well that Vic Fangio had a hand in that. And anytime you have a coach like that, a veteran coach, similar to what we always talk about with Jeff Stoutland, it's never a bad idea to give him sort of a raw piece of clay and see what he can do with it. But I do think it's more of a longer term prospect. I don't think it's going to be immediate, but that's not bad. We're talking about the third round of the draft now. We're talking, they dipped into the 90s.
Late in the third round. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I think if you start talking about upside and ceiling more than the floor, I think when you get to this position, and I think they got a player with a high upside. Whether he ever reaches it, we'll see. Again, started playing football very late. Started as a 195-pound safety. So, and he's really bulked up to the point. But he's still going to be undersized as an edge rusher.
Yeah, I mean, he came from safety, so that should tell you, you know, that he is an undersized edge. Yeah.
Yeah. So he's going to, you know, he's going to probably need a year in an NFL weight room to put more weight on his frame, which it looks like he can do. And we'll see if it pans out in the future. But, you know, I think Howie, even though he was excited about how things worked out on day one and getting Quinyon Mitchell, yeah, he was a little antsy because he couldn't move up or down the board. And he makes three trades today, moves up to get Cooper DeJean, then moves down twice and ends up getting Jalix Hunt and a bunch of picks on day three. Now he's got seven picks to work with in day three.
And I'll ask you about that in a second. Loaded with picks tomorrow. And what really, and I saw many people talking about, isn't that great of a draft for the late round. So I'm not sure what Howie has in mind, but we'll see tomorrow. This is from our buddy Jeff Kerr, obviously a good friend of the program, good friend of Birds 365. I feel like Jalix Hunt is going to have a big role with the new kickoff rules this season, allowing him to use his athleticism. Former safety at Cornell, still developing his frame, but another edge that they can develop and potentially have a special teams role. Is that something you could see for Jalix?
Yeah, I mean, if he's going to get on the field next season, it would probably be in a special teams role. So yeah, that would be a natural place to start. But you also have to realize you can only dress, 47 on game day. So it might be difficult for him to get a lot of playing time in year one in this rookie season. But I don't think anybody should be looking for that type of impact right away with this particular prospect. I thought maybe because Peyton Wilson is clearly falling because of injury concerns, and a lot of teams have red flagged him. And he also had some off the field stuff as well. You know, if he was a clean prospect, he would be the number one linebacker in the draft just from a production standpoint. And as you get further down the board, you start asking, when does the cost benefit analysis kick in with that particular player? Because I was thinking about him at 94 and saying, all right, this might be the shot to say, who cares? Yeah. You know, take a shot. And then you might have a day one starter. But they went a different route and went with the high ceiling developmental prospect. You could argue both ways, but I know fans generally want immediacy. And from that aspect, they're probably not going to get immediacy with this particular player.
Yeah, so they go raw, they go athletic, potential upside type of player. And Jalix Hunt, one stat that does stand out, 5 forced fumbles in 21 games. That's pretty impressive for an edge rusher. So, you know, a guy that can make a move on the ball, and if he polishes up some of that, those other edge rushing abilities using his athleticism, he might be a good piece. And I think we have the right coach to, you know, to potentially teach him that in Vic Fangio. But John, real quick before I let you go, and we'll do a full recap later tonight where we'll get into this a little deeper, but what are you thinking they're doing with all these late round picks?
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, if anything, you would think you want to trade outs and get more picks in next year when maybe it's a little bit deeper. But who knows the way NIL is affecting the college game and people staying a little bit longer. You don't know if next year is going to be any deeper as well. So, immediately I think typically what happens, and you saw it today, you with the new format, not new, it's been this way for a while, but with the format, the current format of the NFL draft, the 3 days, you go to bed day one and the GMs start looking at who's on the board, and everybody wants to go up to get particular players they didn't think would be on the board. Same thing happens in day two, and you saw that Eagles move up from 50 to 40 to get Cooper. And then you get to two trades down, and now he's got a bunch of picks in the fourth round. So, you know, they're probably going to look at the board in the wee hours here and say, oh, maybe I threw Peyton Wilson out there. Maybe they say that's the point. Say, let's go get him at the top of the fourth round. And then all of a sudden, I think people are really excited to get somebody like that. And, you know, maybe the injury issues are real and too overwhelming to overcome or things of that nature. But, you know, I've been saying they probably need to add something at the all-ball linebacker position. And from a talent perspective, just a pure, if he's healthy, that's a big-time player. But remains to be seen how they work with it. But optionality, we'll use it again. That's what it gives you.
Yeah, so if they want to make a move tomorrow, they're going to have the assets to be able to do it. John, one last thing before I let you go, and we'll hit on more of the deeper stuff in the recap later on tonight after you speak with Howie Roseman at his press conference, and Jalix Hunt will probably be coming up as well. No offensive lineman. Day two is going to come to an end here. No offensive lineman taken.
In
one of the biggest offensive line classes we've seen in a long time.
Yeah, it's very surprising to me. I would have bet the mortgage on the Eagles coming out of the first 2 days with an offensive lineman. And, you know, things don't shake out. I think, you know, maybe if Mitchell goes a little bit earlier and they take an offensive lineman in the first round, Cooper DeJean was supposed to DeJean.
Is that what it is? Is it DeJean?
It is DeJean. You know, was supposed to be a first-round pick. I mean, and all of a sudden he falls to 40, and you say the value's too much to pass up from that perspective, and offensive line goes by the wayside again. And then you're down to the third round, deep in the third round, and as many of the good tackles, the last one was the Yale kid who went a little bit earlier. And then you say to yourself, all right, well, it's gone now, so you got to go. And by the way, Peyton Wilson just goes to the Pittsburgh Steelers. So
I'm watching that here now as well. Yeah.
I mean, there's a guy, and Andy Waddles in Pittsburgh, our old friend, and he picked him. I'm not going to kill the Eagles, but that's the guy I would have taken. I would have taken the shot. But I got to run over. Howie's about to speak in about 5-10 minutes. So I'll get back with you after. And
sounds good, Johnny Mac. Thank you, sir. We'll talk to you on the recap later tonight.
All right. See you, bud.
See ya. That's Johnny Mac. Thanks, John McMullen, for joining from NovoCare. He's down there working the draft of Jacob down at the scenes. I kind of like this pick. I know I don't know much about him, so I'm speaking from the hip here, but I do like the idea of a raw prospect, especially at edge rusher, where that's a valuable position. Obviously, it's like it's one of the positions that every team in the league covets. So it's one of those guys, and if he can have a role in that special teams, I like it. And you got Vic Fangio, so maybe he can clean him up. Vic Fangio might have that Stoutland effect on the defensive line. Polish this guy up, and he does have some promising things. He was, as John talked about, he was a former safety, an Ivy League guy, formerly an Ivy League guy. So he's a smart kid, could be a good player, and we'll see how it all breaks. But day two is going to come to a close. I'm a little surprised, guys. No wide receiver, no linebacker, no offensive line. Now Howie has a boatload of picks tomorrow. Is he going to trade him for a player? What does he have in mind? I think what John said is probably right, where you give yourself optionality. You give yourself the ability to go and get the player you want if somebody is there that they like. So we'll see what they end up doing. But I will say, surprising that there's no wide receiver, no linebacker, and no offensive lineman. I thought for sure they'd be looking for a wide receiver three. I do think that, you know, Devontae Parker and Paris Campbell are not good enough, especially in the modern NFL. Yeah, I know we have two great receiver one and two, but if you have a decent wide receiver three, you don't even need to throw him the ball. But what he does is he opens up the field. So I'd like to see them get a wide receiver three. I know that, you know, the offseason's not over, so there's still multiple ways to go about it. But I thought it might come here in the third round. No offensive line. Me and John and I talked about that. A deep, deep offensive line draft, and they did not go there. And then no linebacker. Everybody, all Eagles fans, everybody in every chat box, all of our comments on YouTube and Twitter and Instagram and Facebook, get a linebacker, get a linebacker. Well, we didn't get a linebacker, so we'll see what they end up doing there. And really not many left. We just talked about it. Peyton Wilson's now off the board. I thought maybe if he slipped into the fourth round, Eagles could package some of those picks and go and get them. But we'll see how it breaks. Stay tuned, everybody. Please like the show. It really helps the network grow, and we appreciate you guys being so loyal and listening to all the content in this draft season. Please drop us a like to help us on your way out. And then stay tuned. I know if you're a draft nerd like me, you're going to be up and you're wired when it ends. But Johnny Mack and I will be doing a full day two recap, where we'll recap the Cooper DeJean, who the Eagles picked up in round two, and then obviously Jalex Hunt, who they just picked up, Houston Christian. So a lot of shaking and baking done today. Howie got active. He moved up for Cooper. He moved back for Jalex, added a bunch of picks. So we'll see how it all shakes out. But we will see you on that recap. Don't forget to like the show, as I just mentioned. And thank you all for tuning in. We'll see you next time, everybody.